Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Counting down to Switzerland. Live from Cologne, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, live from Cologne with Scotland's Euros hope still very much alive. A 1-1 draw against Switzerland means it all comes down to Sunday to try and get out of the groups. Scott McTominay was the goal scorer on the night with brave performances all over the pitch. It did come at a cost though, with Kieran Tierney stretchered off and almost certainly out for Stevie Clark's side. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight in the German sunshine you have Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson.
Well, the Euros adventure rolls on and rolls on to Stuttgart on Sunday, and the Tartan Army departing earlier on today are all away in jovial, happy mood, and it's down to the players that took to the field last night. A mixed performance, but a good result that keeps us alive. No doubt we could have lost the game, but we just as easily could have won it. Steve Clark's men did the nation proud, and we've got one more shot at it on Sunday.
Yeah, I think we've got to forget about performances. I think it was all about the result last night. The pressure that the lads were under was incredible, Gordon, and also the Scotland manager. But 1-1, yes, we're a bit disappointed we didn't pick up the 3 points, but we roll on to Sunday, another fantastic game ahead.
Come on then, it's 0141 951 1025. How are you feeling after last night? What did you make of it? Who impressed you? What went wrong? Nothing really went wrong, but what could have been better? Are you frustrated that maybe the game was there for the taking, or are you happy with that point and you move on to Sunday, try and beat Hungary and hopefully get into the latter stages? Let us know. Let's go over the game in full detail on 0141 951 1025. Yet again, we come live from Cologne. Again, we're on the banks of the Rhine. The sun is shining. It's been a great day. Some of the Tartan Army heading off to Stuttgart, as Mark Wilson says. Some still here, though, and we'll get some live reaction from Scotland fans who join us here as they watch the Denmark-England game currently. Still 1-1, I believe. Unsurprisingly, large cheer when Denmark equalised not so long ago. So we'll get some live reaction from the Scotland fans here. But as always, you at home play such a key role. Do give us your thoughts, please, on last night. 0141 951 1025. Incredibly, it's not all Euros fever. It feels like we've started to hit that point in the summer where some big stories are developing back home. I noticed Rangers have just signed Conor Barron on a 4-year deal, the Aberdeen midfielder. And a mixed day for Rangers fans, because a few hours ago, the news that a few games, perhaps at the start of the season, might have to be played away from Ibrox due to delays in some structural work going on there. So I suppose we could do that and take it as a throwback to the normal format on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We could get round to that if you fancy it, but of course plenty of Euros thoughts, please. 0141 951 1025. Whilst you get your calls in, let's check in with the Scotland camp. We've conducted a bit of a substitution of our own. Andrew McLean, who has been with the team, he's returned here to Cologne and joined our team, and he's swapped with Gabriel, who's gone down to Garmisch-Partenkirchen. Hopefully he can hear us now. How's it going, Gabriel?
Yep, all good, Gordon. Finally away.
How's
from
your
the team
weather?
After 9 days. I've got a bit of withdrawal symptoms.
How's the weather? I hear you've had some issues.
Funny you should bring that up. As soon as you said we're here in the Cologne sunshine, I thought last time I was in Cologne it was a thunderstorm. I arrived to Garmisch-Partenkirchen on the Austrian border, where Andrew's been all week in 26 degree sunshine, and it's a thunderstorm again. I went to turn up to the training this afternoon. The team flew down about 3 o'clock. It was an open training session for the media for the first 15 minutes. I got there with this tiny little umbrella, absolutely drenched, got to the front gates, they were locked. Phone from the head of the communications at the SFA, training off today, so I walked back absolutely drenched, got nothing for it, and I had to come and get changed, used another one of my outfits, so I'm an outfit short now with a few days to go.
And, but the thing is, there was a message, there was a group message to say, don't come to training. Scotland are not training because of the rain, but because he decided to walk there, he hadn't checked his phone and he walked all the way there.
I'm just curious to know what he's done the rest of the day in that room. It's a lot of time to kill.
An outfit, sure.
Anyway, forget about your moods. Let's try and make it less about us. But on a serious note, that has changed preparation for Scotland, hasn't it? I'm sure it would have been a light session anyway, maybe involving the players that didn't play, a bit of a cool down. But whatever it was that was going to take part on the field today didn't, basically, because of the rain, yeah?
Yeah, that's right, Gordon. I mean, mostly for the players that played yesterday, it would have been an analysis and recovery session, and then a bit more of a session for the boys that didn't get on the pitch. But that was cancelled. They were just going into the video room after I spoke to them at 5:30. It was Jack Hendry who was up, one of Scotland's ever presence at the back. But, you know, you could just sense that the mood has clearly changed around the camp. You can understand why. Of course, we all know heading into last night, the Euro dream could have been over before it really started. That hugely significant 1-1 draw in Cologne. Scott McTominay giving liftoff to the campaign, really, breathing life into it. And you can sense that speaking to players in the mix zone after full-time as well. You know, after that post-Germany doom and gloom, the players seem to actually believe they can reach the last 16 now and make history. So, as I said, I was speaking to Jack Hendry. He says the team are heading in the right direction, with attention now turning to Hungary.
Obviously a massive contrast, and hopefully we can continue this momentum now. It feels good. We felt we did ourselves a bit of justice last night in the performance, and hopefully we made the country a wee bit more proud than what they felt as well after that evening in Germany. It's a lot to look forward to now. Obviously, it's in our hands going into that Hungary game, and something to really relish.
Of course, the main negative from last night was that serious injury to Kieran Tierney. Nothing confirmed yet as to the severity of it, but his tournament is almost certainly over. Such a key player to the way Scotland play as well. We'll just have to see in time if it does turn out to be a defining blow. There's been so many injuries already. But Jack Hendry, who plays in that back five, says that the squad's depth is a strength.
Yeah, obviously Kieran will be a miss. Obviously, hopefully the injury is not too bad. The squad rallied around him last night. Obviously not nice to see, but I'm sure the physio staff and that will assess that and see what extent of the injury is. But one of our strengths is our squad, and I thought Scotty came in last night and did extremely well and fitted into that, because it's not easy to come into such a pressurised game like that and in that stadium and do so well. So there's ready-made replacements there if Kieran can't make the game. Yeah, no problem whatsoever. As I said, we've got a very strong squad. The defenders that have stepped in have done extremely well, and I'm sure that will be the same case against Hungary. Every time that we've needed to use boys in different positions or whatever it may be, they've stepped up to the mark, and they know how much it means to represent our country, and I think that shows with the recent results that we've had.
Gordon, you can understand, listening to Jack Hendry the first time there, why Jack Hendry again? Never mind, you can just come in and interrupt. Gordon, you can understand, listening to Jack Hendry the first time there, why last night has been such a morale booster? These tournaments, when they go the way ours have done already, must be such a roller coaster emotionally for the players.
Yeah, I felt for the players. They come in for a lot of criticism from Friday night, and people will say, deservedly so, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people over here supporting them, paying good money to come and watch them. They knew they let the nation down, Gordon. They had to respond last night. I thought they were terrific. You know, it wasn't the best performance I've ever seen, and you know, from Scotland, but under the pressure, the fact that if we'd have lost that game, it was going to be a real long 3-4 days before we went back home. But it was all about keeping this tournament alive, and they achieved that. I thought their effort, their commitment, their desire, even the reaction after they lost Kieran Tierney, because obviously on the pitch, you know that that's a bad injury, you know that that's his tournament finish. They're a very close-knit bunch. Easily the heads could have went down, but I thought they finished the game very strongly.
How would you characterise the performance last night, Mark, and the knock-on effect it hopefully has had on the group?
I thought it was brave last night, right from the off. I thought we were brave in how we pressed. I thought we were brave in how we took the ball and we tried to build. And I thought it was, you know, full of passion and commitment, exactly what we needed. Now, you've seen it right away, actually, in the national anthems. And I know people can read too much into that at times, but they looked focused, didn't they? And the reception they got from the Tartan Army over that period was quite exceptional. And they took that into the game. Started well, continued. And it was always inevitable that they were going to have a period of the game. It was how you ride that period out.
What a moment that was, by the way. See, before we get to the games, I know it's an easy one to talk about just how passionately the crowd received the team and just before the game. But obviously we were on air and we could hear it and it did. It sounded great. But when I got back to my hotel room last night, you were probably watching something very different. But I fired up clips, you know, of the game. And the clip of that national anthem sounded like there was 100,000 Scots in there, never mind 10 or 20 or whatever it was in the stadium. It was an incredible moment.
Yeah, I was down the set today and I was talking to one or two supporters who was in Stysie Stadium, Gordon, who's been to many a Scotland game, and they said it was the best atmosphere at the beginning of a game they've ever seen and heard. And that does filter onto the players. There's no doubt that, you know, the players must have felt that. And I think, to be honest with you, I think the players responded.
OK, 0141 951 1025. Well, thank Gabriel. Hopefully he dries out and we'll speak to him in the Scotland camp again in the coming days. We want your calls in right now if you can on that usual number. Send us a tweet. And the beauty of our live shows here in Germany is we can get the live reaction from some Scotland fans who are here as well. I'm pleased to say Stuart joins us. How are you, Stuart? How are things?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
Not bad. How are you feeling after last night?
Aye, good. Aye, quite confident, actually. Really confident.
Were you feeling confident?
Are you speaking about the football or personally?
Well, let's go football first. Were you feeling confident before last night? I generally was.
I just felt I had nothing going other than we were due a performance. I just felt like I looked back to that Holland game maybe four games ago, yep. And I just thought I thought I was a performance. Like, the guys are proud. Proud guys, and I thought they're due us a performance, and they could never be as bad as that again. Germany were good, but could never be as bad as that again.
Well, were you there last night, or did you?
Aye, we went there. How was it? Brilliant. Honestly, that is the best stadium I've been in. I've been in the Alliance, Wembley. Good. That is generally the best stadium I've been in. Just like it just seemed to be like it just everybody seemed to peak at the right time. Like, that national anthem is probably the loudest thing I've ever heard. Okay. But no, it was they were good. We're good. They did us proud.
Was it nervy? Because we watched it here, of course, on the banks of the Rhine. We had the big screen. It was pretty nerve-wracking. It was quite open, wasn't it?
I mean, it could have went either way. You seen that second half. We hit the post and they had a couple of chances that they could have won the game. But, I mean, you would have took a draw at the start. You would have. You wanted to win. But, I mean, when you break it between the Swiss, they're nae mugs. They qualify to the last 16 every time. So they're nae mugs. Okay. So, I mean, it keeps us in it. It keeps us in it.
What was the moment like when Scott McTominay's goal went in? Because, you know, the previous game, the goal was... We almost celebrated it ironically. And it was an own goal. I know there was a hint of that last night, but it's definitely Scott McTominay's as far as we're concerned. What was that moment like?
It was just one of them you'll never forget. Ken, you've all been there when your team scores a goal, a massive goal. Ken, it's just one of them in your lifetime that you'll never, ever forget if you were there.
Yeah.
Ken, it's up there with just... up there with the best.
I mean, Mark... He dragged us, not single-handedly, but he played a big part in dragging us to this tournament. And like many, just ineffective, quiet, whatever, against Germany. But that effort from him to clear the ball from his own six-yard box, sprint 85 metres and then get on the end of it, yes, with the aid of a deflection and so on. But it kind of summed up what the country needed last night, didn't it?
It certainly did. It summed up what we needed right from the start. And I thought that Scotland approached the game in the correct manner straight from the start, playing in Switzerland's half and pressing them high up the pitch. But again, you need that desire to promote bodies forward. And even though he's the one that finishes the move, we saw on the TV when they were doing a bit of analysis, there was six Scotland bodies within that 18-yard box from one side to the other.
Yep.
That's brave football. That's really what that is, because it's easy just to clear that and sit back, but to promote bodies forward was a clear message from the manager that we needed to get our noses in front, and that's how we get the opportunity. It was a terrific goal.
I mean, sure, there was a lot of clamour to bring Billy Gilmour into the team. We knew a change would be made at the back. Aye. Because of Ryan Porteous. Billy Gilmour came in, when you were there in the stadium, could you really see what he brought to it?
Aye, I mean, for me, he's got to start every game. I think he's technically our best player by a mile. I mean, McTominay is maybe our most influential player, but Gilmour, for me, is our best technical player. He's playing every week in one of the top leagues. He's controlling games, been there. Aye, he had to come in. It's just, it's so frustrating that is our strongest part of the team.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a top player sit suit,
yeah.
Whereas we're maybe lacking a wee bit in the other positions, and you're maybe clicking, scrambling about to get guys when there's a guy injured. You've maybe got five, six top-class midfielders.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Ryan Christie had to make way last night. Stuart Armstrong doesn't even get a look in. If he wasn't injured, Lewis Ferguson would be here, yeah. And so on. But it felt, Mark, like that was the change that had to happen. I don't think Steve Clarke does it because everyone says he should. He really doesn't strike you as that type. He'll have made the change because he thought it gave Scotland a better chance of getting something. However, there was a huge clamour for it, and you can kind of see why. Well, it's like we're back to the last Euros where he comes in game two.
Well, I think we understood why he played Christie in the first game, because we needed some legs up there and a bit of pace to support Adams if we got the ball. But the problem was we didn't get the ball, we didn't get real possession of the ball in that game. So we needed someone in there to take the ball from the back three and dictate play. And there was a period probably about 15 minutes in that Billy Gilmour started to get on the ball and start to pull the strings from side to side, and that allowed us just to work our way up the pitch. But I said last night, I think the others in that midfield play better when Billy Gilmour's in there. I think Cal McGregor performs better and he enjoys his football with Gilmour beside him, and McTominay, and McGinn, who's been quiet, is the same.
Even when he comes across, and you'll know this way better than me, having played there, but see the way he comes and makes angles for fullbacks,
yeah,
to then give him the ball inside. Yeah. It was something I probably should have noticed it before now, but just something that really jumped out at me last night.
He's just one that will take the ball in any position.
Yeah.
And our players know he's good enough to give him the ball in any position, and he'll work out. That's what you need at this tournament against elite teams.
Could I ask one question? Like nobody wants to speak about it because he's the talisman, he's been the talisman for years, but should we drop John McGinn? Because he looks like he's had a big season. He's played for 60 games. He didn't need to play both friendlies, in my opinion. So, but he still looks tired. And I think that is our strongest area of the pitch in midfield. I mean, you could play Christie could there, Stuart Armstrong, yeah, could come in there, but nobody wants to talk about it. It's like he's indroppable. And I just feel like looking at him, I think he's near the levels
games,
he has been.
Yeah, last
I think
two
Stuart
games
should take my job. He's coming on here asking brilliant questions.
It's a good question.
It's a very
it's a
good
great
question.
And you know what? He's a very hard one to drop, but nobody's immune. And we have got good players in that position. I just don't know if Steve Clarke would, because he has been so influential.
What have you made of his two performances? You wouldn't say bad, you would just say quiet, wouldn't
just
you?
Anonymous.
Not as involved.
And we've seen him going from the left side to the right side to try and get more involved within the game. And it's the ball. Sometimes the ball just doesn't come to you, doesn't fall to you. Others are in possession. I don't know about that one. It's a hard one to call. Gut feeling. A cup final must win game, I'd still play my best players, and he's one of them.
Sure, what's the trip been like then? So you all three games, I take it?
No. We pre-booked it before we qualified. So
right,
we took a gamble on Scotland not being the first game. So we went Amsterdam the first game, which is probably the worst place to start a trip like that. But no, we came to Cologne.
I don't know what he means by that, but move on.
Came to Cologne on the Saturday, and it's been brilliant. It's just it's got more Scotland fans every day. And yesterday is probably the busiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Incredible, wasn't it?
That fan march, there was guys actually dropping beer out the window, and when folk were catching it, the police were celebrating. There was police like walking up with guns in their pockets taking videos of the Scotland fans, like little kids in the streets, like high-fiving you with signs saying, come on, the Tartan Army. Just fantastic.
And on to Stuttgart or home?
Home for us. Home, well, for me anyway, a couple of mates are going on. But
he shakes his head there as if I've had enough.
No.
We'll
maybe come back out if we qualify, but I hope my wife's not listening to that.
I'm sure she'll wish you well. Stuart, thank you very much.
Cheers,
that was brilliant.
Guys.
Enjoyed
Cheers.
Speaking to you. That was Stuart here live on Clyde One Super Scoreboard in Cologne. You can join in on the phones from home, 01419511025. If you give us a call right now, there's a good chance we could get you on next. So let us know what you made of the game last night, who was good, who wasn't good, how you feel about Sunday, what tweaks you would make, and all the rest of it on the usual number, please. But before we go any further, Do you like your golf? We know Gordon DL loves his golf. Well, we are giving you the chance to win a four ball on the PGA Centenary course at Glen Eagles, and it's all for Cash for Kids. It's our big Scottish golf day with Arnold Clark. This is basically how we are planning on celebrating our return back to Scotland. We'll all be there, and we're giving you a great chance to join us. The prize includes a four ball, so that's you and three of your mates, tea and coffee, bacon rolls and arrival, a two course meal after you've played, and a Q&A with the Super Scoreboard pundits. Who knows what condition they'll be in by the time this rolls around, but anyway, for your chance to win, text GOLF to 84901. That makes a £10 donation to Cash for Kids. So you give a tenner to a local charity that needs your help, and then you and three of your mates might end up going round Glen Eagles. That is a win-win situation, if you ask me. The text costs your standard message rate plus the £10 donation, over 18s only. You must ask the bill payer's permission, and the T's and C's are at clyde1.com/golf. The competition closes at 8 p.m. tonight, so please don't miss out. Get your £10 donations in, and hopefully we'll see you at Glen Eagles in a couple of weeks. Text GOLF to 84901.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Cologne, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, welcome back to Cologne. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson joining me, Gordon Duncan, as we reflect on the game that kept Scotland's Euros hopes alive. Just think how bad it would have been, a defeat last night. It would have been over. We would have had a very different mood tonight, and the next few days would have been grim, building up to what would have been a dead rubber. However, the situation is different, Gordon DL. Everybody's got a spring in their step and looking forward to Sunday already.
Yeah, and I would obviously say that we're in a better place than we were a few days ago, Gordon. I thought that Steve Clarke summed it up perfectly last night. It's the way we are, it's the way we play. We showed great character, great heart. Wasn't a vintage performance, but it wasn't about the performance, it was about the result. We had to make sure we kept ourselves in this game for Sunday.
Oh, without doubt, you can just sense the mood walking around the city this afternoon. Can you imagine we're standing here picking holes in the defeat where it all went wrong, and we had to build up to just a dead rubber on Sunday? It would have been awful, and especially awful for the people who have booked tickets for the three games, or for the people who are flying out today, tomorrow and Saturday to come to the game against Hungary and Stuttgart. So we're still alive, we're still there, and by the way, we've got a really good chance. You think what the Swiss did to Hungary, the Hungarians were beat yesterday from Germany again, two defeats out of two. How is their camp feeling? They're a decent enough side, but you have to take into consideration the mood around their camp, what they're thinking. They're as good as out at the minute, and we are full of optimism, so we're in a good spot.
Come on then, 01419511025 is the number that you need. So get in touch, let us know how you are feeling after last night. John is on the line from Cologne to Coatbridge. How's it going, John?
Hi guys, how are you doing? Are you surviving all right?
Surviving, John?
I would say just about, John. I think they're on their last legs, a few days to go, but we'll struggle on through.
I hope Daz is behaving himself.
Always, John.
More on that later, John, actually, to be honest. But what do you think about last night?
I thought last night, near the end, the Swiss team looked a bit leggy. I thought it'd be fine for James Forrest to come on last night in place of Andy Ralston for the last 20, 25 minutes. And I think it'd have made a difference. So I'm hoping Steve Clarke will maybe go with Forrest and against Hungary, just to see. But I mean, obviously we need to win. But I think it'd be. I think I love Andy Ralston because he plays with Celtic. But I think a lot of that, not just the only one, but a few of them been found out there. And I think he struggled a bit, Andy. But I think I would play James Forrest in Sunday against Hungary. So I'd to see what difference it would make. Be more of a threat going forward. Just, you know, I mean, obviously maybe he's not the better defender, but he's played there a few times for Celtic, as we know. So I think it'd be a good shout to play Forrest in the
wing-back
role.
A lot of people were going for that before the game last night, you know, talking about would Forrest come in there for Ralston. Steve Clarke tends not to make lots of changes, and that was the case last night. He made, was it two, brought in, obviously, Hanley and Gilmore. And that's the way he'll go. Listen, Ralston last night, we touched on it after the game. I felt for Ralston. He made a bad decision, and 9 out of 10 he wouldn't have been punished for that. It was a top quality goal, absolutely sensational goal, but it was all about after it for me. He could have easily been in his shell and thought to himself, I'm going to take the brunt of the blame for this tonight. I thought near the game we looked like he was a bit tired. Would he be substituted? Would it be a change? He was getting up and down. All credit to a lad. Sometimes you need a bit of character, a bit of strength, a bit of heart. I think he showed that last night.
Yeah, I have to agree. Particularly in the second half, when the game was wearing on and we needed to get up the pitch, we needed that outlet on the right hand side. I thought his willingness to get up there, and look, he didn't do anything spectacular when he got up there, but we needed width and we needed length in that right hand side, and he had the legs to do it. Yes, did he look tired? Of course he did, but who didn't at that point, because he'd put in so much. And when you're talking about James Forrest coming in, and I was one who thought it might have been a possibility, you've always got to think about the defensive side of the games. No doubt James Forrest would give you more going forward. If he gets the ball and receives it, he's used to receiving it with people tight to him, and he can wriggle out of holes and he can carry the ball up the pitch. But it's going back the way. At this tournament, almost every team have got threats in the wide areas, and every team that we've played against, that's probably their main threat.
It's
so
almost
that's
like
why
he
won't.
John saying he's done it for Celtic, unless someone can tell me different. I think it was a couple of times, and it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And see Celtic domestically, you can see why James Forrest could do that. The only way surely you could get away with it for Scotland is if it was against a team that you know you've pretty much got all the ball.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and you're asking a guy to, you know, defend at a top international level, and is it not almost verging on unfair on him?
Well, we're giving up a lot of possession in the previous two games. Of course, against Germany, we gave out, what was it, 70-odd% possession up. I think last night... Well,
there was a bit in the first half.
In the first half,
similar.
It was 73% against us. Now, that's where you've got to be really switched on. And James Forrest does a good job defensively when he's playing in the front three. He really does. He tracks his runners. I've been there behind him, and he's never changed since he was a kid. But it's a bit of a difference when you're 1v1 against an out-and-out left winger, and some of these left wingers are world-class, to helping out your right back. So I don't think Steve Clarke will go for it. I don't think he'll change too much.
I think he'll change one position, and it's a position that he has to change. It's force with Tierney. I think he'll keep the same formation, same midfield. I think he'll keep the same personnel apart from one.
Yeah, plenty of time to pick the team for Hungary in the coming days. But is this mostly off the back of that mistake by Anthony Ralston? John, do you let him away with the fact that it was an unbelievable finish? You know, it wasn't the worst mistake you'll see, or is it at this level?
As David Moyes pointed out as well, guys, obviously, I was watching on the telly, that finally put him in a position. If finally had just horsed the ball up the park, it could have been different. You know what I mean? Then, obviously, as you say, it's what a finish with Shaqiri. But David Moyes commentating says, Hanley shouldn't have put him in the position. Hanley should have cleared the ball up the park at the time. So...
I think the way we want to play, and you need to be brave in this. Hanley's every right to give him the ball. It's up to Anthony Ralston then to take it, have the right body position, look forward, and even the pass he chose, it was a negative one, but just get it right. So it was a mistake, there's no doubt about it, but it wasn't a disastrous mistake. It was a fantastic finish that he could have got away with, but playing against top players, you just don't.
That's the reality, Gordon. I think, you know, that fall of Stevie Clarke, we're going to hear from him in a second, but either Shaqiri takes a touch and it becomes not really a mistake from Ralston, because as soon as he takes a touch, we had
defenders.
Relative cover. If it falls maybe to anyone else, we're just not talking about it. It is a mistake, but it's also a really bad combination for Anthony Ralston because of the way that it then unfolds. Other players don't put it in the top corner from there.
Yeah, and it falls to Shaqiri's favourite left foot, Gordon. We watched him at Liverpool. You know, he's a top international player as well. And when it falls to his left foot, there's not many people about can do that. He put it in the top corner. Gunn had absolutely no chance. I felt for Ralston. For me, you can look at it, yeah, it's a mistake. I thought he just made a bad decision. I thought you're talking about Hanley. I think Mark's right. I think he's got every right to give Ralston the ball, but I think he's got to drop off half a yard or a yard just in case, because they closed him down very quickly. I think Ralston panicked a little bit, tried to play it back, and obviously it fell to the wrong guy. And you've got to sometimes put your hand up and say, look, And another day we wouldn't have got punished for that, but we did.
It was a worrying time, Mark, because we didn't hold the lead for very long. You know, you were hoping that when you go in front early, you can hold it a bit longer. It did really look to spook us a bit as well. So how much of a worry was that at the time? And then I suppose now with hindsight of the full game, how impressive was it the way that we did manage to ride that out defensively?
Yeah, we regained our composure, but it took us a good 5-10 minutes to regain our composure in the Swiss. You know, had plenty of opportunities to maybe grab a quick-fire double. I think Angus Gunn, in that period, had a couple of important saves, and that's important to point out as well, because he took plenty of criticism after the Germany game with a couple of howlers, but he played his part last night. So that period of the game was so crucial. To really regroup and get your mind back on it is sometimes difficult in football when you're playing against a quality team, because they then smell blood. They think they've got you in the ropes. The atmosphere within the stadium as well from the Swiss fans, who were incredibly loud as well, sometimes can get on top of you. But showed that we've got leaders in there, real characters. You know, chatted about it on Friday and Saturday, that we've got players that play in big games who drag their own club teams through collectively. They did it last night, and that's what got us through that period.
I think that was the defining characteristic of last night, Gordon. The bravery, the determination, the character, these types of buzzwords.
Yeah, 100%. I thought that the one for me, McTominay, was outstanding last night. I really. But what summed up our, you know, effort last night was our goal. We were defending the ball in our own 18-yard box. All of a sudden, we had the desire, Tierney. Gilmore plays a great pass. McTominay, 85 metres, was it? We counted. Then you've got McGregor getting there for the overlap as well. So there was a lot of desire, a lot of passion there. Did we ride our luck at times? Yes, we did, because we're up against a quality side. But it was, I keep going back to it, people talk about performances, individual performances. It was all about staying alive in this tournament, and we achieved that.
Can we do it, John?
Yes, I think we can. I think we will. I would just a wee bit. I think we do have a wee bit of luck as well, and I think we do. Obviously, we're going to miss Kieran Tierney, but I think we can. Can I say something before I go, guys?
Go for it.
Just wish my sister's getting married tomorrow. Just wish Farley and Jim happy wedding day tomorrow. Not for you, Dad. No wedding cake for you again, mate. But she's getting married tomorrow.
Brilliant. Congratulations in advance. Hope everybody has a good day. Thank you to John on the line. Let's hear from Steve Clark then, because John brought up the subject of Anthony Ralston. John's saying he's a Celtic fan. He wants Anthony Ralston to do well, but he feels he's struggling a bit. Steve Clark says Anthony Ralston's mistake was punished by the only Switzerland player capable of scoring a goal like that one.
I think when Tony made the mistake, and what was a small mistake that could have maybe been recovered, because we had two players near the ball, I think if that chance falls to any other player in the Swiss team, it's not a goal. So that tells you what I think of Shaqiri. Just rolled on the plate, and the way he finished, you knew when it was rolling towards Shaqiri, it was destined for the back of the net. He's the top player, so you don't give top players that kind of chance.
Yeah, but what about the positives then from last night? Steve Clark, understandably, came under some criticism after Friday, so did his team. There was a lot of doom and gloom, a lot of negativity, but Steve Clark says they showed the real Scotland last night.
That's what we expected. This is the way we've been playing as a team over the last 3 or 4 years. It's why we're here at a major tournament. So we knew what we had to do. The players knew what they had to do, and I thought it was a good team performance against a good opponent. Good reaction to a disappointing night, and we're still alive in the tournament. It's just about doing better all the time. Sometimes as a footballer or a manager, whatever, it doesn't go your way. It certainly didn't go our way on Friday night. So tonight was just about getting back to what we're good at, working hard, making sure we got the preparation right, and I think we did.
Was it good, you know, even just to return to that sort of level, Mark? You can hear Steve Clark saying, you know, we are kind of capable of that. We knew we were capable of that level, because you still are where you are in the international football food chain. Switzerland are still ranked much higher than us. They have a much better record of reaching major tournaments than we do. They've certainly got a much better recent record of getting through the group stages than major tournaments than we do. So that was still a tough game, and we needed to be more like ourselves even to get the draw.
Yeah, we showed that we can compete with those teams above us in the FIFA rankings, and that's incredibly difficult to do. It's such a number of things that need to be right on the night for that to happen. It just doesn't happen by luck. You need your players, everyone to perform almost to their peak. You need the tactics to be right. You need the setting to be right. And they got most of that done. And we can, look, we should, I keep going back to the Spain game because that was one of the biggest shocks in a long time for us. We not only competed, but we beat them. And not a lot of people thought we could do that. But once we did it, then we wanted to obviously do it. More and more. Norway as well was another one. Last night, I think, can be up there because we could have easily have won that game. And I thought we finished in the closing minutes, probably the stronger. I know Switzerland had a chance, but you think of the one Andy Robertson puts across the face of the goal. So we could have snatched it. But it's a performance that's gave us confidence back after what was a really good period for us. Then that period where we were playing the elite and we took some sore ones, I think yesterday gave us some confidence going into one of the most important games on Sunday.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. How do you look back on last night's draw against Switzerland with just under 10 minutes to go? Denmark 1, England 1 remains the scoreline over here at the Euros. So get your calls in and we'll speak to you next.
Live from Germany with UK Debt Experts, the national team helping you tackle your debt. May not be suitable for all. Fees and disadvantages may apply. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Yes, as we've done throughout the group stages, Clyde One Super Scoreboard is live in Germany thanks to UK Debt Expert. We're live tonight from Cologne in the Tanzbrunnen Rhein Terrassen Beer Garden. It is a lovely venue. I think this is our last night here, isn't it? We're off to Stuttgart in the morning. A very, very early train. I'll have to break that news to you two in a bit more detail in the coming minutes. But a big thanks again to UK Debt Expert. They've helped 250,000 people deal with debt. That's five times the capacity of Hampden in football terms, and 45,000 of those in Scotland. So if you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. And check out ukdebtexpert.co.uk. The rain has come on again in Cologne. It can't make up its mind, as they say back home. It's even more extreme here, but we're sheltering under a lovely parasol here in the beer garden. And you can give us a call on 01419511025. Nicholas is up next from Aberdeen. How's it going, Nicholas?
Yeah, not bad, guys. Yourself?
What's the plan been? Have you been here for long? Did you go to the Germany game? Was it just last night?
No, we arrived in Cologne on Saturday, so I'm out for the game against Switzerland with a few of my friends. And then tomorrow I'm going down to Stuttgart to meet my dad and his mates who are all over for the game there. So really glad we've got something to play for in that game.
I was going to say, that is now a much happier journey than it might have been. Would you still have gone? Would you have sold the ticket?
No, absolutely, I'd have gone. I mean, it's, you know, France 98, I remember getting the afternoon off school to go and watch Scotland against Brazil. For this to be the first time to get everybody here, you know, seeing, what was there, 200,000 of us in Munich, and then Cologne's been incredible. And, you know, everyone's been a, you know, real testament to the country, to be honest with you.
You know, when we get our club teams go to big European games, the relevant fan base overinflates how many fans are there, and then the rival fans mock it, and then they do it the other way round when it becomes, you know, the Glasgow two in particular. I actually feel like before we came, all these big numbers of Scotland fans that we heard, I actually think genuinely they might have underestimated it.
Yeah, yeah.
When you see...
Certainly. For me anyway. Well, Munich we thought was something else. We went into the square on day one. Match day was just incredible. Having to close the square off, no one else allowed in it. But then yesterday in the main square in Cologne, I thought this was going to be quieter because we had a longer build up to it, and it was quieter. But as soon as match day came, it's been incredible. I've never been in a place where there's been so many football fans all pulling in the one direction. It's been quite an incredible atmosphere, and everybody getting on with each other makes such a difference than some of the stuff you see in social media.
To link it on field though, Gordon, that's why last night was, look, it's important anyway. You know, I think naturally football players and football teams want to win games irrespective of how many supporters they've got, but the first game was such an anti-climax because there was so much feel-good factor and, you know, so much enthusiasm. So it felt like it was important to try and bounce back last night in that sense.
Yeah, I think everyone came together. I think the supporters and the players. Because if you're a player and you're standing there in that stadium and the national anthem's going and you're hearing that, Gordon,
that gives you the drive, the energy, the desire to go out there and really do your very, very best for your country. And these people have paid a lot of money. And you're right, I've been about, but Munich was absolutely incredible. Incredible. I've never seen scenes like that. I've came to Cologne. It's beautiful down here. And Mark's right. All of a sudden you think, yeah, you've got a wee breather. And then in match day, it was unbelievable again. And about the togetherness with the German people over here have been absolutely brilliant, and everybody's just mixed in, and I'm delighted the Scotland fans have got something to cheer and look forward to.
Nicholas, what impressed you last night?
The fan march was something that was just amazing to be able to, you know, get there, and I couldn't even hear the pipes, we were so far back in the march, which was just amazing. And all the families out lining the streets, you know, giving out free food, free drinks to everyone. That was amazing. You know, I've been to Germany quite a few times to watch my own team, and to, you know, just for general games. That's the best stadium I've ever been in. The quality of the atmosphere.
But you told me you were a Bucky Thistle fan.
When did they Bucky play in Europe?
Germany?
Well, I've been out to see Aberdeen a couple of times as well. But
big team.
But
there was one I'm thinking I must have missed.
That's what you see. That's not a joke that gets made in the Northeast very often.
Exactly.
But yeah, you know, it was fantastic, and just, you know, everybody's been so happy to see the Scotland fans, and, you know, everyone wants to talk to you, take photographs, and, you know, little kids are coming up the street and giving you a high five, which there's nothing really beats that as a
tourist. What about the performance then, in a sort of quick fire sense? What did you really like about it, and was there anything that you wished was better?
I thought Andy Robertson was excellent, you know, especially in the first half, you know, getting up and down the wing, really, really good. I thought we actually played some football, which we never got a chance to do on Friday night. Things that could have been better. Obviously, defensively, we're going to have to be better. The goal that we conceded, you know, Ralston's taking a lot of grief for it. You know, I felt Hanley gave my first time ball that ended up leading to that goal happening. That should never have happened, but the finish was amazing. Switzerland, six tournaments in the bounce that Xhaka scored in. You know, but when you look at the stats, we had 11 shots, did 11 shots. I think it was 47 to 53 possession in favour of Switzerland, which, you know, for a team of that quality, yeah, to go toe-to-toe is fantastic.
Yeah, they're in the top 20 in the world for a reason, Mark, and it's good to have that recent tournament record to back up their credentials, because the rankings can be a bit bizarre sometimes, but they clearly are decent. And there were a few near misses for us in an attacking sense when it came back off the post. Grant Hanley's header, it couldn't quite fall for McTominay right at the end. Andy Robertson knocks one across the face. Again, McTominay's lurking. It was brilliantly defended, I think, on that occasion. So yeah, both teams probably feel like they could have won it.
Oh yeah, I would think so. I mean, Switzerland did have big chances at the header, remember, right in the last couple of minutes, and we all thought was in. But the big one for me was the one that we worked very, very well, the ball into Robertson. He puts it across the 6-yard box with about a minute to go, and Shankland's on the pitch. It was only when I seen it back last night, and you're thinking, we're all crying out for Shankland to be on the pitch because he's a goal scorer and he's in the right positions. And that's where you want your striker to be, in the middle of the 6-yard box. It was actually McTominay, wasn't it? It was closest, yeah, to it, and they couldn't go on the end of it. But if you bring Shankland on, I've actually not seen a wide shot of where he actually is, but if he comes up, that's where he's got to occupy in the closing few minutes, and he could have made himself a hero. But it was a terrific game of football. I think even if you were a neutral, much like the other games that we've seen in this tournament, you would have enjoyed what you were watching last night.
Nicholas, did you see enough to suggest that things have turned and we can take that feel-good factor into Sunday?
The boys are going to have so much confidence going down to Stuttgart, you know, with such a huge following as well. I think that's also going to drive them on. You saw that last night, the crowd drove them on. You know, you're looking at Scott McKenna's probably going to slot straight in for Kieran Tierney, and I think that's a positive as well. You know, I'm a big Scott McKenna fan. I think he's done well when he was at Nottingham Forest originally. So
and Aberdeen's before that, your big team.
Bucky Thistle,
he's a Bucky fan as well, is he?
I think he played against Bucky in a pre-season friendly and did not bad. Conor Barron got injured against Bucky in a pre-season friendly. So
and more about him later, actually. He's been busy back home today.
But no, I think
you think it's looking good.
I think we've got a good chance. You look at their team, a lot of guys play either in Germany, play for you know, teams in Hungary. The only real standout they've got is Szoboszlai that's at Liverpool, so we've nothing to fear going there.
Hopefully that's the reality, and it would be the one sour note, Mark Wilson, would be the Kieran Tierney injury. It was Scott McKenna last night who did very well. It probably will be Scott McKenna again, who's good, he is. It's just you're always faced with the fact that Kieran Tierney is such a one-off in that position. That's why we play the way we do. But
yeah, it gives so much to the team. But it's a numbers game as well. I know we carry a large squad, but if you keep losing players in that kind of area, then you're in real trouble. But we're lucky we got McKenna. He came on. I thought he did well. He picked up an early booting, remember? But he recovered well, and he actually got up the pitch. I was actually saying at the time, that's his kind of lost that outlet. But no, he did well, so he'll slot in, no doubt.
And also, Mark, what he gives us that balance in the left hand side. Yeah. About what Tierney gave us. You know, he's a natural left sided player. He's got good pace. He's aggressive. As Mark touched on, he got booking right away when he come on. Put himself under a little bit of pressure. Was worried about that, but I've no fears of McKenna getting in there. I think McKenna's a decent player.
And if you're looking for positives, yes, I think everybody accepts he's not Kieran Tierney. But if there is one thing, then he does bring a bit more height. Then, you know,
yes, it plays. Yeah,
you know, could in both boxes could turn out in our favour.
Yeah, because a lot of people were thinking with the loss of Tierney last night, would Steve Clarke go to that back four? We've heard that a million times. It won't be. It'll be a case of
you
probably
don't think so?
No. McKenna just slotting in there. He, as I say, he still gives us the perfect balance, that left-sided balance.
Okay, thank you very much to Nicholas, Aberdeen/Bucky Thistle fan, who enjoyed his night last night. All the best.
Great, cheers guys, thanks a
good
lot.
Good man, thank you very much. You can get in touch on the phones on that usual number on 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. We've played Beat the Pundit from home for the last few nights. Will we play it live? Will we do live Beat the Pundit here in Cologne? Let's do it. We'll find out who is going to take on Mark Wilson,
yes,
or Gordon DL after these.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Cologne, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL joining me live on Clyde One Super Scoreboard here in Cologne as we reflect on a draw for Scotland against Switzerland last night and look ahead, of course, to Hungary on Sunday. If you're at home, you can still give us a call like normal on 01419511025. The beauty about being live here in Cologne as well is we can get Scotland fans involved here in the beer garden, and we're going to do that right now as we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, Beat the Pundit time. It's been a mixed bag over the last couple of weeks. We've had some Scotland fans live playing Beat the Pundit. We've had some playing from home. This could be one of the biggest matches we've had yet because Andy is from Stirling. He's here and what a crowd he's brought. He's brought a full team.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's moral support. I don't know if he needs help with the answers. How are you feeling, Andy?
Very, very confident, especially against Gordon. Not a problem.
Does Andy sound match fit to you?
It's going to be a good game.
I think Andy was in the same train as me and Martin Sunday.
I'm looking at the boss's face over there.
He's wondering.
Apologies.
He's all right, Andy.
Do you know what's really annoying me, though, Gordon DL? How have we managed to find so many Dundee United fans that actually think Mark Wilson was a player?
Do you know, and yeah, you were a legend. You were my hero.
I'm going to be honest, Gordon. I think you're really harsh to Mark. I think his career has been outstanding, and what a player.
What a guy.
Do you remember the free kick he scored in the derby that bounced three times before it hit the back of the net?
I never saw that, was there.
Call yourself a Dundee.
Come on!
Yeah.
Scoring the derby, mate.
I've never seen a free kick bounce three times
did
before
you?
It goes in.
You were my biggest fan 2 minutes ago.
Andy was at Ibrox that time.
Anyway, Andy's going to play Beat the Pundit against either his hero or Gordon DL, who he thinks he's got. I've got a euro here. I don't really know what's heads and what's... Let's call that heads, right?
Let's see.
Accuracy. The bit with the number is heads. You're going to be heads, Gordon DL. Tails is Mark Wilson. Happy?
Yep.
It's you, I'm afraid. Andy's got his man as heads.
Right, come on,
DL.
Andy.
Up against Andy. So Gordon DL, away you go. Somebody take him away. Buy him a drink. Send him away so he doesn't hear what's happening. Usually we can press a magic button when we're back at home and he hears something else, but here we're going to have to send him away. Andy, it should be pretty straightforward. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and move on to the next one, that's fine.
Right.
Are you sure?
He looks a bit nervous now.
I don't know what that look is. I don't know if it's nerves or
wind. Because I'm next to my hero.
Right, okay.
I have that effect on people sometimes.
I mean, I suppose technically your pals could help you out, but it might... I mean, you've got about 50 of them here, so it could be a bit of a rabble. Anyway, we'll try. This is the beauty of live radio. 30 seconds going on Andy's clock, and your time starts now. Who won Euro 96?
Germany.
Who's the youngest player in the Scotland squad at the Euros?
Ben Doak.
Who's the most capped player in European Championship history?
Patrick Miller.
Who's the only team to win back-to-back Euros?
Don't know.
Who's Scotland's most capped goalkeeper at Euros?
Craig Gordon.
Which year was the first European Championship, 1960 or 74?
1974.
What was the score between Germany and Hungary last night?
2-0.
I think it was 2-0, by the way. Anyway, let's bring Gordon DL back. Don't give anything away. Don't.
Sorry, lads.
Let's tell him that Andy was brilliant.
Done. By the way, what a player he is. That's no easy.
You're in trouble. You're in deep trouble.
Keep them on just now.
Keep them on.
Andy, you can stay and listen to his attempt, don't you worry. Right. We're not ready to get rid of you yet. Gordon DL, the same set of questions to you. Are you ready?
Right.
30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who won Euro 96?
Italy.
Who was the youngest player in Scotland's Euro squad?
Gilmore.
Who's the most capped player in European Championship history?
I'll pass.
Who's the only team to win back-to-back Euros?
Spain.
Who's Scotland's most capped goalkeeper at Euros?
Craig Gordon.
Which year was the first ever European Championship, 1960 or 74?
60.
What was the score last night between Germany and Hungary?
2-0.
Okay. How do you think it went, Andy? Think you've done enough?
Don't tell me you beat me.
It wasn't a classic, right?
No, it wasn't a classic.
Did he beat me?
A couple of poor performances, as I've seen for Gordon over the years.
It was low scoring, I think, right? It wasn't.
You want to call a draw?
It wasn't vintage. Let's find out exactly what damage was done and by who. Who won Euro 96? It was Germany.
I was there.
Andy 1-0 up.
You're in the squad.
Who did you say again?
Italy.
Nah. The youngest player in Scotland's Euro squad. I mean, Ben Doak's famously not in Scotland's Euro squad, of course, so it can't be him. And Billy Gilmore, nearly. It's Tommy Conway.
He was injured.
Does Andy still think Ben Doak's in the squad? Yeah.
He was wondering how he didn't come on last night.
You shouting at him, you got on last night.
Mate, he was injured.
We were actually wondering how many caps you got.
One was the answer to that.
Aye, don't rub it in.
Anyway, Tommy Conway is the youngest member of Scotland's squad, so it's still 1-0 to Andy. I'm disappointed in you both. The most capped player in European Championship history, Cristiano Ronaldo. I think, is this not his sixth or something?
How did we not get that? This isn't a good game, is it?
It's Patrick Miller, actually. In reflection.
I was thinking of the guy for Germany.
Thomas Miller.
Ah, right.
It's Cristiano Ronaldo.
He's a good player.
26 appearances, I think, now, so he's doing not bad. He's got a good career ahead of him. The only team to win back-to-back Euros is Spain, though. You've struck back the Dazzler.
That was
2008.
A total guess.
No, anyway,
don't you worry about that.
Yeah.
I'm a bit worried about you here, both of you again, because you both went Craig Gordon, who hasn't ever played for Scotland at the Euros.
Listen, he's got an excuse right now. No.
So he's not in this squad.
You're not meant to be like a technical
pundit, basically. Yeah, I think so.
Scotland's
most capped goalkeeper is Andy Gorham with 6. But I'm counting up. When we win the tournament this year, presumably it will be Angus Gunn, or he'll be kind of level.
He's terrible.
Anyway. How many more questions left in this? Oh, terrible.
In what year was the inaugural, the first ever European Championship? You went
60.
You went 74, didn't you?
Oh, dude.
It's 1960.
Yeah! Is that it?
74 is a World Cup year, isn't it?
Andy, did you not know that, son?
Right. So is that your level? 2-1. Is that you 2-1 up? 2-1.
Jog on, Andy.
And the score last night between Germany and Hungary was 2-0. You both got it. I think
Andy.
It's a narrow win for Gordon DL.
Oh, I cannot
3-2.
Believe it. Gordon DL has beat me at
I can.
Devastating. Yeah. Hard lines, Andy. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Oh, thank you, Mal.
Cheers. Great to see you.
And you too, Andy.
And also to my hero, Mark Wilson.
You've made my night, mate.
And by the way, Gordon gets some belters, but he's a good... who's a fantastic football player for Dundee United. Don't you worry about
and,
that.
And he's I'm very bossing. Close to overstaying his welcome here. So he's really enjoyed his 15 minutes everybody. Of fame.
Well done, Andy.
Here we are.
You're my favourite
well
caller.
Well done.
0141951105 if you want to join in on the phones, and please do. Superb.
See, we had a loss. See, we had a loss. I'd have been in there. I'd have been in there.
I've seen you say in there. You need to tell the listeners.
I would have been right over that belly flap.
Flop is the term.
Right.
Speaking of water, it reminds me, is it time to come clean about the fact that we had a bit of R&R today? We've had a stressful time here. We've covered a lot of mileage. So we decided to go to a German spa. Here in Cologne, but we weren't quite sure about the dress code and what is or isn't permitted in the sauna.
Yeah,
I just feel Mark Wilson like I've seen more of Gordon Dale than I ever needed to see.
But we had to tell him my wife's swimming shorts on getting in the pool.
He nearly tripped over me.
I have to say, I think it was. I thought you overstepped the mark when you went down the phone without your shorts on.
Yeah.
I thought that was one step too far.
It was a wonderful experience. I've got to say, I'd like to come here and live. It's got everything I need.
You just got everything
you don't need. Yeah.
I love this place. I'm certainly coming back here. It's got everything for me.
But. And I know you were keen for me not to bring this up, but you know, never do what you ask. I think it's time, and I'm surprised it's taken today. What day is this? I don't know. 7, 8. I don't know. I've lost track. To play a game of Where's Dazzler? But where were you this afternoon? Because you went AWOL for the first time. I've slagged you for being drunk previously, but you were with Mark. Please drink responsibly. That was fine. We at least knew where you were. You went AWOL this afternoon. We're all very suspicious because we went to the spa, we had our R&R, and then for hours between that and tonight's show, you were unaccounted for. Some of us saw you alone in the city.
Yeah.
We managed to hook up again for a bit, and then you acted very mysteriously. You walked off into the distance. I saw you looking at your phone. You came out of the cafe that we were in. You were staring at your phone. You turned left, then you turned right, and then you just disappeared off into the distance. Right. And we didn't see you until 5:30. Or 6:30 here, 30 minutes before the show started.
I had the biggest embarrassment of my life with that, right? So you drop a pin, we know that I'm starting to get this social thing. And I look at...
Like your location.
And I try and follow it, and I don't know where I'm going, right?
I'm turning there,
and then I'd ask someone the directions. I was 2 minutes away as well.
You're not following your own pin. So whose pin were you following?
Oh, I went and met a friend for a coffee.
What was his name?
David.
David what?
Smith.
Pringle.
Why would that be the made up name?
Because he's got 2 tubes of Pringles in his room that he eats for every night. Honestly,
and I met his son, Sour Cream. He was he was there as well.
Honestly, you had the chance to give us any name there that would have been more realistic.
100%
Pringle. Straight in the name.
Can we just move on now? I'm quite enjoying this show.
But anyway, we're glad you're back. Yes. I will get to the bottom of it before we leave Cologne, hopefully, tomorrow. And anyway, let's go back to the football. 0141 951 1025. I think we've got a double team on the line. We've got Mark and William. How's it going, guys?
Evening panel, good, how are we doing this fine evening in Germany?
Brilliant, right, this is great. This is the first time that we've had a call from Germany. So, where are you? Are you in Cologne? You were just too lazy to come and actually see us, you thought you would phone up.
Well, I can actually see you boys, because we're across on the middle of the River Rhine right now. Being a wee way from the wee boat.
The wee boat? Where's the wee boat on?
Can you see us waving?
I can see you waving, mate. It's a wee speck, but I can just make you out.
Where are you going on this boat?
We're just taking a wee swing back to the city centre, go watch the match. Just the main thing I bring up tonight was about the substitution near the end, my striker, Lawrence Shanklin. I think, obviously, Steve Parson did an amazing job for Scotland. I feel like he made a mistake last night. I feel like Shankland should have came on a lot earlier in the match. I just felt, when he came on against Germany, I thought he's really picked up a lot more. I just felt, I think Adams had a good match, but I just felt Shankland could have got us a goal there. Just want the opinion of the panel here. We think that maybe Shankland should start against Hungary or not?
I don't think he will. I thought Adams, I agree with you when you said that, you know, Shankland coming on a little bit earlier, because only for a fact I think Adams had run his race. I thought he was terrific last night. I know that he didn't get a lot of the ball, but his work rate, his pressing, everything about him. So I will be very surprised if Steve Clark decides to change that. I like Shankland, I'm a massive fan. He's had a terrific season, good goal scorer. But I do agree that we were crying out for it just a little bit earlier. But you can't... Look, Steve Clark got the result to keep this tournament alive, keep everybody's hopes going into Sunday. So he's seen a different game. He decided to keep Adams on as long as he possibly could. But I think everybody would have said, yeah, get Shankland on a little bit earlier.
I get the argument because he's a goal scorer and we needed goals, but I agree with Daz. I thought Adams was terrific at the job he was asked to do yesterday. And then when Shankland came on, the point I made earlier was Shankland came on and we see him as a real predator in the box, somebody who knows where chances are going to fall. I know he was only on for a couple of minutes, but I was wanting him right in the middle of that 6-yard box just to tuck away that cutback for Andy Robertson. Now, that's just judging him over a very small period of time. If he was on the pitch for longer, perhaps he would have. But I still think he's got a part to play. Even if he doesn't start, I still think Lauren Shankland has got a part to play in this tournament.
It was difficult, I suppose, Gordon. It's just that, or let's put it back to Mark and William, actually. That balance... Do you think it was in Steve Clark's mind that, you know, you obviously didn't want to lose the game, lose last night in the Euros is over, you get yourself in a good position with the kind of draw in the bag? Do you think it was a kind of stick or twist type scenario?
I don't know. Possible. It's a case that I don't know if Steve Clark, I know the fans rate ship Lauren Shankland, but I don't know how much Steve Clark rates him. I've got a feeling that he's almost been forced to play him. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong in that. I just feel it's a case, I think the fans want him to do really well. The fans, I don't know, the fans see him as a Kenny Miller, a James McFadden kind of hero for us. He's just never seemed to be given that chance, especially in the bigger stage.
I suppose, it, Gordon, then Steve Clark's sole focus will probably be on the function that he believes the striker can perform within the team. And Shea Adams had last night to do so much dirty stuff. I'm not saying Lauren Shankland can't, but it was just such a shift for Shea Adams, and clearly that's Steve Clark's priority. He wants somebody who can bring out the best in Scott McTominay and John McGinn. He clearly feels that guy is Shea Adams.
Yeah, it's about linking the team together, Gordon. It's not just about one individual. I know that everybody would have been crying last night, you know, at the game or watching the game, wherever they were, talking about get Shankland on earlier. But Steve Clark must have just felt they were still a little bit more on Adams. And remember, they were starting to get a grip of the game. And sometimes, just don't change a game, let it go. I thought Scotland was starting to finish stronger. And he left it to, what, 3-4 minutes before then, before he brought Shankland on. Was I disappointed? Yeah, probably was. Can I understand Steve Clark's decisions? 100%.
What's the plan, Mark and William? Are you heading home soon? Are you staying out? Are you going to Stuttgart?
Well, go home, man. No chance, mate.
I meant generally, like back to Scotland. How long are you staying in Germany?
I'll be up to Stuttgart tomorrow morning and stay out there 3 nights and then back. I think we head back to Troisdorf Monday, then fly back to the UK Tuesday. So I'm sure we'll bump into you guys up to Stuttgart at some point.
Hopefully we will. Thank you very much on the phones. That was 01419511025, but from Germany. I think the first time we've had that Super Scoreboard caller calling from Germany. I love that. So give us a call wherever you are. Those guys were from Bishop Briggs. They're in Cologne. If you're listening at home, give us a call and let us know what you're thinking looking back on last night. How is the mood back there? It's easy for us because the beers are still flowing amongst the Tartan Army. They're having a great time. What is the mood like back home? You can give us a call,
on the usual number. You can send us a tweet. You can get in touch. It's incredible, actually, the type of correspondence that you receive on this show, because I've just had a message in, and I suppose we should do a shout out. If you're a taxi driver out there and you're listening to this show back in Glasgow and you've just used insulting language about one of us and called us a bad name, you've got to be careful who's in your back seat, because that person might just text me and tell me. So be better. We wouldn't get we wouldn't get in the back of your taxi and criticise your driving. So come on, I know you've probably had a bad day, but be nice. Gordon DL doesn't need that. He's had a rough day as well. He got lost mysteriously for a few hours in Cologne earlier. So come on, taxi drivers out there, let's be nice to the Dazzler if you can.
0141 951 1025,
and we'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025, live from Cologne. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're live in Germany, live in Cologne. We've loved this setting, I have to say. I know it sounds like we're trying to rub it in, but every night here on the banks of the Rhine, it's been spectacular. And tomorrow, very early, let it be said, we get in the train and head to Stuttgart for the big game on Sunday. You can still join in, plenty of time. We're here until 8 o'clock UK time, so 0141 951 1025, or send us a tweet or a message if you want to put your point across that way. We're looking back, of course, on last night, what was good about it, what was better than Friday, perhaps room for improvement, and early thoughts ahead of Sunday as well. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's not only phone calls we're taking, we've got live reaction from Scotland fans round about us as well. Callum is joining us on the show now. How's it going, Callum?
Not bad, how are you?
Not bad. Where are you from?
Balfron.
And what did you make of last night? How would you sum it up?
I thought it was very average, to be brutally honest. I thought it was a poor game to watch, but it was a bit more, we were at it, so it was a bit more exciting. And I thought it was very similar to the England game there, where it was just lack of quality from both teams. I thought Swiss were obviously a little bit better, but there's just so nothing a lot going forward at all, and I think there needs to be a few changes, to be honest.
This is good, this is different. This is by a mile the most negative response we've had from any Scotland fan today, by an absolute mile, which is okay, because it would be boring if we all thought the same thing. I think we would agree with parts of that, though. I don't think there was loads of attacking quality. But there are other ways to sort of get fans excited, I guess. Praising the bravery rather than the quality.
I said at the top of the show, Gordon, I thought it wasn't about performances. I thought it was about just getting the results, keeping us in this tournament, giving us a chance to qualify. We achieved that. Did we ride our luck? I think we did at times. We're unlucky with the Hanley header off the post as well. We've lost Kieran Tierney, a massive player for us. So I thought there was a lot more positives than negatives, especially after the disappointment on Friday night. And it leads you up to a terrific game on Sunday. And we must, after last night, begin into this game in a better place.
I'm the opposite. I've said I thought it was quite exciting. We sat here right enough. I thought it was quite exciting, and because it was end-to-end stuff. I thought we needed to get the first goal, and we did get the first goal. That made it exciting for me in itself. That I kind of knew the quality of Switzerland would wear us down, but how we respond was going to be crucial. And I thought either team could have won it at both ends. Yeah, the quality of the finishing wasn't there from Switzerland as well, because they had some guilty chances. But we created a couple ourselves, so look, I get the disappointment from some supporters that it wasn't a win, but like Daz says, it was really all about keeping us alive until Sunday.
Do you think we've got much, when you say changes, Callum, what's going to change things drastically, or who's going to change things drastically for us?
I'll qualify by saying I thought it was a great result, don't get me wrong, but I just thought the performance was a bit underwhelming, just because there's just not a lot of attacking quality in the team. I don't think McGinn's played well either game. I think having him out wide is pretty useless. There's a lack of pace in the team. There's nobody to get wide and play it in. If you're, you know, Robertson's your biggest attacking threat, and there's nothing really going down the right side either. Changes, I'd probably try and maybe go 3-5-2 and put Shankland up there with Adams, or maybe play Christie off the two of them, and have four across the middle. Just something, because they need to get a win. You know, there's no point. Would you rather lose 3-1 would you rather get beat 1-0 and not try, or would you rather get beat 3-0 and not really have a go at it? So I feel like it's a bit like the last campaign where you know, they didn't get off to a good start against Czech Republic, then a great point against England, and then kind of just nothing against Croatia again. So I think that they have to at least go for it and take the handbrake off and at least try and win the game rather than not get beat.
My hope, because I've thought about that scenario, my hope for that scenario is Croatia then are better than Hungary now. And I know it might not seem like it because of results. I still think overall we're better now than we were then. So that's why I'm sort of hoping for a better outcome, albeit can see the similarities.
Yeah, I would say so. We're in a better place now, not only, I think, performance-wise from individuals, but having been at a major tournament and seen that play out with this kind of similar squad of players with the same manager, then we've got to learn from those mistakes. No way, Hungary are a match for Croatia, and Croatia were excellent on the night. But Callum's right, we didn't really lay a glove on them, and at the time when we were getting back in the game, it was too far gone. So I would love Steve Clark to go for it. I really would. I would really love us to go in the front foot, but I don't think he'll change the shape dramatically to do that. I think he'll maybe play more direct like he did in the first 5 minutes last night, where we get three or four corners and a couple of throw-ins right by the Switzerland corner flag. I think he'll adopt those tactics rather than put two up front.
I think some of the issues that Callum identifies, Gordon, are fair, but also you can only choose from a certain pool of players when it comes to international football. There's no pace in the squad, but it's not like we've left flying machines at home. That's just the limitation of this squad. We've also got sort of striking options that aren't at the level probably that our midfield options are at, or that our left back options are at. That's it. You see that international football, players operate at a different level. So I suppose it's about trying to come up with something that's better, you know, the sum of its parts sort of thing, and try and just find a way.
Where I do agree with Kat, he'll definitely stick to his back three. Of that, there's absolute no doubt. McKenna will probably just fill in there. He'll not go with his two. He doesn't do that. That's not the way he operates. You hear him last night after a game saying, listen, that's what we are. There was a fighting performance, heart, courage, desire to go out there. As I said earlier, we rode our luck a little bit. Totally agree with Callum in one thing. John McGinn is a massive player for us, massive, and we've got to get him in the game. Okay, nobody was seeing it against Germany, so we can rule that one out, but he didn't influence the game last night at all for me. But it'll be interesting to see what Steve Clark looks at for Sunday. I don't think there'll be a lot of changes, obviously, maybe one or two, but that would be it for
Has he, John McGinn, got enough goodwill in the tank, Callum, that you know he still stays in this team?
The centre midfield three are always going to play there, so there's no, it's like putting round pegs in square holes or whatever the saying is. You know, he's always going to they have to fit him in somewhere. I actually think Scotland played really, really well a few years ago when McTominay actually sat in the back and played as a back three, and he was more central. McGinn went more central. So I just don't think there's...
I don't think we peaked in this qualification campaign, though, when that wasn't the case.
The Spain result and the Norway result were excellent as well.
McTominay wasn't at the back then. No. That was a kind of previous Euros thing.
It's trying to get the best players in the best positions, and unfortunately, we've always got good centre midfielders. There's always a good set of three, two or three in there, and then it's the rest of the team that's just a bit lacking. So, you know, who do you play, wide right or wide left? There's no real.
See, to be fair
options.
Though, in an Aston Villa team that's just qualified for the Champions League, John McGinn does at times have to operate there, and he can do it, Gordon. Whether it is, again, you can almost write the Germany game off because the gulf was so big and nobody was at it. So fair enough last night. Maybe it's feeling the effects of a long, arduous season. Whatever, it might not be as simple as to have an issue with where he's playing on the pitch.
Yeah, but I certainly would never see Steve Clark leaving them out. I think he's too big a player for us. He didn't have his best game last night. That's fine. We can all do that. But I think that if we're going to qualify on Sunday, we need our big players. We keep talking about our big players. You look at McTominay last night. He was the example for me. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. I really did. I thought he was brilliant. So we need our big players to lead by example. Robertson, second half especially, getting up and down that left side. He's a captain, he's a leader. We need McGinn joining in. You know, we've got nice players in the middle of the park, Gilmore and obviously McGregor. So we need our big players, all our big players, to perform.
Callum, you're a good man. Thank you for joining us.
No problem.
Much appreciated. That was Callum from Balfron joining us live here in Cologne. He's got a round of applause from his fan club as well.
Oh, yeah.
That he's brought along. He's popular in here.
Loving him.
Callum, they're loving his performance. You two never get a round of applause after you finish on the show.
A round of applause because he was leaving.
01419511025 if you want to join in from home. Let's hear a bit more from Steve Clark. Callum was running through a number of players there, and some good and some bad. Callum's obviously not had as much beer as everybody else here in Germany. He wasn't too happy, was he?
He was a bit negative, was he not?
Everybody's entitled to that.
I totally
maybe
agree.
Maybe he's realistic. Maybe the rest of us are getting too carried away.
Too carried away, but you know, everybody makes different points.
Yeah, let's hear a bit more from Steve Clark. He says Billy Gilmore's performance was brilliant, and it was always his intention to start him in the second game.
I thought he was really good. I'm not sure what you mean by technically, but he's a really good player. He's a fantastic player. Everybody uses that word technically, but sometimes it just gets missed. He's a good player. It was always my intention to start Billy in the second game. Maybe that's why he didn't start the first game. But I knew, and you see towards the end, the little man's tiring a bit towards the end of the game, because it's a tough shift in midfield. I thought him and Callum McGregor, both in central midfield for us, were outstanding.
If you're really cynical, you'd say, oh, he's bound to say that. But let's give ourselves some credit, Gordon Dill. I think you and I have both made the point in previous days that the fact Billy Gilmore didn't play, and then the fact that it looked like he would be brought in last night, that wasn't some knee-jerk reaction by Steve Clark. It wasn't Steve Clark listening to the clamour from home. It wasn't Steve Clark thinking everything was absolutely broken on Friday and Billy Gilmore would fix it. We always had the feeling that because we would have more of the ball, or should have more of the ball against Switzerland, that Billy Gilmore was going to play anyway. And well, that's what Steve Clark says.
Yeah, we heard it from Steve Clark there. We heard it last night in his interview that he was always going to bring Gilmore in. I believed that. I think that was his game plan coming into this tournament. I thought Gilmore, where I don't agree with him, I don't think Billy Gilmore was brilliant. But Billy Gilmore is a terrific footballer.
I don't think he was brilliant, no.
I thought Billy Gilmore's past match, I thought McTominay was outstanding. Robertson, especially second half down that left-hand side. I thought Adams worked so hard for us last night up front. But what I would say about Gilmore is his part in our goal, I thought, just sums him up. Yeah, touch that pass, and I just thought it was brilliant for him. Listen, he's a big player for us, and I think he'll obviously start on Sunday as well. But I think Steve Clark's right in saying that he didn't listen to supporters back home. He didn't listen to the disappointment. He's got a game plan of these three games, and it'll be interesting to see what his game plan is for Sunday. But I honestly think Gilmore will start the game.
See, I disagree. I did think he was brilliant. I thought he was a catalyst for everything good that we did. Yes, he had a couple of misplaced passes, but I love the bravery in him. I love the way he takes the ball in any position and moves it. Technically, Steve Clark's saying he doesn't know what he means about technically. How he receives the ball, how he passes the ball, how he can play things one touch, two touch, slow the game down. He's got it all. And for me, growing up being a Scotland fan, I've never seen enough of that in our midfield throughout my years watching the team, through my years being involved sporadically in and out of the squad. Not really seen a lot of that. Yes, we had guys like John Collins and Gary McAllister all through the years, players of real quality, but he's special. He really is. And at this tournament, that's what you need at major tournaments, people who can control the tempo of the game. I thought he did that for us last night.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. John is on. How are you, John?
Hi, is that me now? Hi.
That's you now, John. Take it away. Right. What's your point?
Listen, my point is, we, as in the Scottish collective, put him in charge as a manager. He's the manager. He picks the best 11 guys he can put on a pitch, and they're coming on and criticising him. I'm sorry, they're the best guys we've got. There is no criticism against any one of them. Every one of them's on there playing for a shirt. They're on there playing for a team. They might not be a team as all gelled together as all the other teams, but I don't see how anybody can complain about them. 5-1, so what? Who cares? They went on and done it. We've had generations, we've not had anybody there. Now we've got a team there. Support them. Don't sit and criticise them. They shouldn't be criticising the manager.
Is it not part of just the football discussion, though, John? That's why we love it so much. Everybody's so passionate. If people have got their opinion, they want to share it.
There's no way you can criticise a guy who's... I mean, you just said there he's got probably three game plans. So if he's got three game plans, it's not as if he's not done his homework on this. He's doing the best he's got with the ingredients he's got. He's making the best out of it. And
I think there's a bit in there.
They've not been in a Euros before. They might have been in an odd World Cup appearance, but I doubt it. Scotland, remember?
There is a bit in there about perspective, as John mentions there, about, you know, we've not been there for decades, we don't get to many tournaments, so well done for being there. I think that has to be a little bit true, has to be a bit relevant. Hungary are still ranked much higher than us, Switzerland are ranked higher than us, and Germany are certainly ranked higher than us, so it is still tough. However, I don't quite know if that extends as far as whatever the phrase John used was, we lost 5-1, who cares? You know, there's got to be a bit in between. And as for Steve Clarke, you can do both things at once. You can praise the job he's done, you can believe that he is trying his best, as John says, and you can question his decisions if you think that you would have done something different.
Well, I get the sentiment that John's making about, you know, undying support for Steve Clarke and the team. I love that attitude. But no one's immune from criticism when it's staring right at you. That, you know, a poor performance result and questionable selections goes wrong. And that's just football. And nobody's immune from it. No player in the world is. No manager in the world is. And Steve Clarke's no different. But I love the fact that here in Cologne, in Munich, the amount of fans that we've had on here who are all, you know, positive about how this full experience has been. Even the disappointment of Friday night, they picked themselves up and they had faith in Steve Clarke. But it doesn't mean you can't say anything bad about the guy. We hope he's got a lot right. Steve Clarke has got a lot right since he's came in charge and turned our fortunes round and taken us to major tournaments. Exactly what was in his remit. So of course we should back that. Of course they should get the praise, but of course he's going to get things wrong from time to time, which we need to pick up. And
thank you to John. I don't mind your positivity, John, and we can always agree to disagree. That's the beauty of it. So thank you for dialing that number. It's now your chance, though, to win cash. Does that sound good? Of course it does. It's all thanks to Call Robert, and all you need to do is simply guess the results of the next three games of Euro 2024 on our pundit predictor. Stuart in Kings Park, he fell at the first hurdle last night. He predicted a Scotland win, just like Hennis the Goat, but it did turn out to be a draw, of course. So it rolls over, and it means it's now getting pretty big, just for a couple of predictions, £300. So to win that money, all you need to do is predict the outcome of the next three games at the Euros. There's one, of course, kicking off pretty soon, then the first two tomorrow. So it's just three games. You don't even need the score line. You just need the correct outcome in three games, and the £300 is yours. But you have to call before the end of the break on 0141 951 1025.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Cologne, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Welcome back to the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, live from Cologne. It's our final show from Cologne. We're hopping on an early morning train. Let's hope it is not the same performance from Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel as it was on the train to Cologne. Hopefully they have learned their lessons. What do we think?
No, we are going straight out after this show.
Brilliant.
We're not even going to bed. We're just going all the way.
We'll get you this train station.
Cannot wait. On behalf of the rest of our colleagues, we cannot wait. Anyway, moving on to Stuttgart tomorrow. Big couple of days coming up for Scotland to get the preparations right ahead of Hungary on Sunday, and hopefully the game that leads to the latter stages of the Euros. Actually, probably for the first time since we've been here, it feels like there's been pretty sizable news from back home. You know, quite a lot going on a club front, particularly at Rangers today. So we'll maybe get the chance to touch on that in just a second. But before we go any further, let's play our pundit predictor. We've teamed up with Call Robert. All we're asking you to do is predict the outcome of the next three games at the Euros for your chance to win £300 tonight, because the money's rolled over. It's a pretty good prize. Spain against Italy, which kicks off in 15 minutes. Slovakia, Ukraine tomorrow. And then Poland, Austria tomorrow as well. On the line to play is Stephen in Thornley Bank. How's it going, Stephen?
Hi, good, Gordon. How's yourself? And Martin, not Gordon, bad. Hope you're having a whale of a time.
It's going not too great. Badly, Stephen. £300 for predicting the outcome of three games. It's not a bad offer, is it?
It's great.
Do you fancy yourself as a bit of a predictor?
But I'm not as bad as Hugh Keevans, but I'm not great.
Okay, I would never use Hugh Keevans as the bar, to be honest, when it comes to this stuff. But let's see how we get on then. Let's go through them. Who played last night out of you two?
Me, I think, was it?
That was you. And how, yes. How did you go?
I went out in the first hurdle as well.
Did you go Scotland?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, Spain against Italy. Stephen, 15 minutes time, just under. Are you going Spain win, Italy win, or draw?
España,
I like it. Slovakia win, Ukraine win, or draw?
Slovakia.
And Poland win, Austria win, or draw?
Austria
win. Mark Wilson, I think it's over to you tonight. Spain, Italy?
Italy.
Oh, okay. Why?
She went Spain.
Because
she's mixing up.
Yeah, I like it. It's got a good squad.
All right, Slovakia, Ukraine?
Draw.
And Poland, Austria?
Oh, Poland.
There we go. Right. Thanks for taking part, Stephen. It's pretty straightforward. You sit back, you enjoy the game. If you get the three outcomes right, you win £300. So we'll find out tomorrow night, okay?
No problem. Cheers, guys.
So, man, Stephen, you take care. That's all thanks to Col Robert, our pundit predictor, that we will roll on through the group stages. And if Stephen doesn't get it right, £400 tomorrow, and on we go. So looking forward to seeing how that plays out. Right, not long left on tonight's show. And of course, it is a major, major Euros focus when we're over here. It just feels like the sensible thing to do, to keep our finger on the pulse of what's happening at home. And if there is something particularly big, that we give that the attention it deserves. And I think today probably does qualify. It's been a real mixed bag today if you're a Rangers fan, Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson, I suspect. Let's go earlier in the day. Rangers revealed that they don't expect Ibrox to be ready for the start of the season, which is quite something. Not a story I think anyone had on the radar, not something you would expect. It follows a delay to like kind of building works, improvements at Ibrox. A member of staff or someone involved has been sacked over the situation, we believe. The kind of boring bit, if you like, is it's related to a delay in material shipments from Asia, which is impacting the completion of different works in the Copeland Road stand, because, you know, we heard at the start of the year there was going to be plans for different improvements to the stadium and so on. Rangers initially, of course, thought the work would be done before the end of the season, but delays have hampered that. The club say they're disappointed. They're looking at the SPFL and UEFA, because there are Champions League qualifiers, to try and find a solution. It doesn't take a genius to figure out there aren't loads of solutions. I don't think Celtic Park is going to be likely somehow. I don't think Hampden is feasible right now. There's a suggestion tonight it could be Murrayfield. Again, I don't think there's loads of options there. So, I've not really heard many stories like this one, Gordon. Yeah, that came as a surprise today.
It's incredible. And, you know, Rangers are obviously trying to get everything in order for the start of the season. Got off to a fast start after Celtic won the league last year. You want everything organised, Gordon. You want everything planned. And I couldn't believe it when I heard it this afternoon, the news that came from Rangers. You look at options. For me, there's only that one option. You need to look at Murrayfield. It's the only stadium for me that can hold those games. But I think that's disappointing if you're a Rangers fan.
It's a strange one, Mark. Well, I mean, Rangers, I'm sure, as much as they're disappointed, would say it's unforeseen and there's nothing you can do. And you need to take elements of that, I guess, at face value. It's just miles away from ideal.
Well, of course, calamitous. I mean, Rangers, we spoke about the rebuild that they need on the pitch. Of course, the infrastructure at the club and all around about the stadium needs upgraded, but for something like that, the planning in place should have been done way before it got to this stage. And the report that someone loses their job over it tells you exactly everything you need to know. It's a mistake that's came down to the last minute of people finding out, like they've had to put out today. Now they've put themselves in a position, because who you feel sorry for is the actual supporters. You know, supporters make preparations to come to Glasgow, or the ones that live in Glasgow. They pay a lot of money for tickets to go to these games, whether that be league games, European qualifiers, pre-season friendlies. Now they'll need to add travel if it's Murrayfield as well, and it's an inconvenience to them. So it's not ideal for anybody involved at the club, and especially the players, who, if you're bringing a bunch of new players into a club, which Rangers will have to do,
You want them to get used to their home pitch, Ibrox, as soon as possible, and they're not going to have that for the month of August.
And they will have a new player in particular in Conor Barron. This is one of the, I don't know if worst kept secrets is the right phrase, but it's one that's just been on the radar for a while. He was out of contract at Aberdeen. It's looked for a long time like he was heading to Rangers, and they have confirmed that signing today on a 4-year deal. We've sort of poked fun at you for this, for referencing it in the past, but this is, you are genuinely seriously about to come into your own. You had him at Brechin when you were there. What are Rangers getting? How impressed or otherwise are you with that signing?
Really impressed. Top player. Like, you're chatting about Billy Gilmore, and I'm not saying he's in the same category as Billy Gilmore, not at all, but that sort of player who can take the ball off the back four in tight situations and can start to dictate play, great range of passing for someone so young, real calm head in his shoulders, and I think that's a position Rangers needed to fill. So they've got a top quality player there who I'm convinced will bring them a lot of good year service.
Can you see him impacting that starting 11?
Oh, without doubt. No doubt about that. I think he's been excellent for Aberdeen. He scored a couple of good goals. But again, he had a decent Aberdeen side. I know they were struggling, but I thought every time I saw him, he stood out as someone that was brave to take the ball. He's going to have to be like that when he's at Rangers. And I really believe if he gets off to a good start, we could see him in Steve Clarke's squad before long.
I mean, he's been a relatively regular fixture in the under-21s. Gordon, he went on loan to Brechin. I think he went on loan to Kelty as well. He's had to sort of learn his trade that way, try and make his mark at Aberdeen. There was a time in the season gone that he dropped out, whether that was differences over the contract. People, you know, kind of speculated about that because of his future. Anyway, he's a Rangers player now. What's your immediate reaction there?
Well, I've spoken to Mark many times about him. I like the fact that he's been out and learned his trade. Gordon worked his way into Aberdeen's first team, became an important player. Watched him latter end of the season. I think Mark's right. I think he's got everything in his locker to be a regular in Rangers' first team. I think that's a good sign.
And also, well, first of all, you do have like UEFA requirements anyway to have a certain number of Scottish players, homegrown players. But, you know, I know there was a desire from the recruitment team at Rangers to try and have some sort of a Scottish core as well, as both of our big clubs really should do, because at the start of the window it looked like Rangers were looking in every far-flung market across the globe, but I know that they still wanted to try and get a bit of a Scottish flavour there, and that of course is one of the contributing factors.
With Ryan Jack going as well, that freed up that position. Ryan Jack, terrific servant for Rangers, but I believe Conor Barron has the potential to be even better than him.
And there we go. As you can hear, we are almost out of time. So thank you to Mark Wilson and to Gordon DL. Thank you to everyone who called from home and sent messages in. We really do appreciate it. Of course, the Scotland fans who joined us live. And thank you to Cologne, I suppose. They have been wonderful hosts. I've rarely seen a group of football supporters and a host venue come together so well as Scotland fans and Cologne have. It's been a brilliant experience. Even the result here wasn't bad either. It keeps Scotland's hopes alive, and we all pack up and move on to Stuttgart tomorrow. So our first show from Stuttgart will be tomorrow evening, 6 until 8 your time, 7 until 9 our time, and we really ramp up the build-up to Scotland taking on Hungary as well. We can't wait. Hopefully that excitement is making its way back home. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with UK Debt Experts, the national team helping you tackle your debt. May not be suitable for all. Fees and disadvantages may apply. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.